And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com and use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's Just Something I've Noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Breaking news this morning, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore hit by a cargo ship, one of the major columns, the entire major truss coming down into the water. Latest we heard from authorities is they're searching for at least 20 people in the water. That would include workers who apparently were on the bridge. They're now saying that they believe one tractor trailer might have been on the bridge when it went down. This was all caught on the Port of Baltimore live stream camera.
Right.
And it's one of the most horrifying things you'll ever see. One of the things that I noticed when looking at the bridge, looking at the picture of the bridge, was there are no what they call bridge fenders on it.
Right.
Basically, you hit the column. And if you go back, and I was doing it from memory, and I said, was it the Tampa Bay Bridge, that the new one that they built, that has the massive, rock fenders and concrete fenders, buffers, basically, that if a ship is coming down and it hits those fenders, it hits the buffers and doesn't hit the major columns. Mm-hmm. And the new Sunshine Skyway Bridge has them. I was showing them to you, and they're massive, and they cover such a huge portion of the bridge, not just, the major archway, but even all along it, they have all those buffers to keep ships from hitting it. And that's because in 1980, you had that horrible accident of that freighter going into, because there were the two Skyway bridges at the time, hitting the one, and 35 people were killed.
Yeah,
on it. In fact, I'm looking at a picture right now, which is horrifying, from 1980, of a guy who stopped his car 14 inches before he would have gone over.
Mm-hmm. The container ship is Dolly, and it is flagged out of Singapore. There are reports now on social media, and you and I were commenting to each other. You brought up the point during the top of the hour break that we have not seen a press conference this morning. There have been statements that have come out. We would expect in a situation like this, there to be a press conference as soon as authorities can gather enough facts to deliver it to the public in a timely fashion. Of course, all the resources right now are on search and rescue. But there have been reports now on the container ship Dolly, again, out of Singapore, which was the container ship that struck the bridge there. This is the Francis Scott Key Bridge in the Port of Baltimore, that the ship itself may have lost power in the moments leading up to it hitting that one of the main columns, support columns of the bridge. We're not sure about that. You would, as you can imagine, if a ship that size loses power, then if they don't have the power to navigate, and that momentum is just going to carry them. They don't have the power to reverse either or slow down. Then that would make sense. But again, we're working to confirm that. They are reporting also that the container ship Dolly officials are saying that there were no injuries on the Dolly itself, on the container ship itself. You might be surprised mm-hmm. as to how few people are on these container ships. They're stacked with containers, and they're massive, and you can see that in the video. But in that part of the supply chain, the global supply chain, there might be 12, 15, 20 maybe 20 yeah. people.
It's not that you don't have 200-300 people on those cargo
it's,
ships.
It's right? not that. It's not. Yeah. It's not what I would expect. I was surprised to learn that. I don't know, a couple of years ago, how few people actually are on those container ships, and so because it's basically the cargo. Is the point, and just once you've got it loaded, it doesn't require that kind right. of, you know, personnel number. So when you look at this situation...
Don't most of these massive ships like that, don't they have a harbor captain?
I believe so,
I know they have harbor captains that take them in.
Right.
Do they have harbor captains that take them out?
I didn't see evidence of that, but it, you know, again, it was dark in that video. I'll go back and look to see if that is the case, but you know, you can see the traffic.
Well, you wouldn't know if they had you couldn't see a harbor captain.
Well, that's
somebody who comes on the ship,
right,
who knows
right.
the harbor.
Well,
and, yeah.
but it's, I thought you were referring to sometimes they do have an accompanying boat. To escort them in and out of the harbor to help them navigate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which can be the case.
Yeah.
And that is, in fact, that is, I've seen that in a number of ports. I don't know if it's required for every ship, by the way. It could be certain size ships may require that kind of escort and others. I know that on a cruise ship, we actually had that in one port that I was in. It was a foreign port. And it was, we did have basically an escort getting out of that. I think that was more of a local concern there. Mm-hmm. It may be a security concern, although they didn't relay that to us. But when you see this huge container ship, it really, in the last moments, it turns and then goes head on with that column. And we were wondering, okay, why would that happen? There's plenty of room between those two columns. Those huge support columns that are really at the center of this bridge. And if it is the case, if these reports that have come out in recent minutes are accurate, that it lost power, then, of course, that would explain a lot. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. Do you know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6 and help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Latest updates from CNN. Officials will begin assessing the condition of the, well, I guess so, assessing the condition of the bridge. There is no condition of the bridge.
Right.
It's gone. The condition of the other parts of it may be okay, but the major truss is gone. But they'll begin to assess the condition of the bridge after it collapsed early Tuesday. Kevin Cartwright, the director of communications of the Baltimore City Fire Department, told CNN, quote, "This bridge has been in place for quite some time and has served many, many commuters in the Baltimore metropolitan area. So as the investigation ensues, there will be structural engineers involved to try to assess what the condition of the bridge is. Currently, conditions are unsafe, and investigators will assess the condition of the bridge before its collapse," according to Cartwright. "This is a very devastating incident in which these individuals have encountered, so our hearts go out to each and every one of them, and we will be working throughout the early morning to address this." I will say this, that from the way that I can see it, unless they add it on, all the pictures I see shows no bridge fenders at all. So you hit the support structure. A cargo ship was going to take that down. If that cargo ship hit directly on, as it seems it did, to that support column, it doesn't matter what condition the bridge was in, it was coming down.
It's just a massive ship. And, you know, looking at the moment right before it made contact, because looking for evidence that it may have lost power, there were lights on that you can see that lit up the deck that is stacked with containers, and you can see those lights, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the engine room had power. So it could be, if these reports, again, are accurate, coming out over the last few minutes, that the container ship Dolly, which was the ship that hit this bridge in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, if it is the case that, you know, they lost power in the engine room, that would explain a lot. They wouldn't have the control that they needed to veer away from that column.
Freezing conditions, another update. Freezing conditions and limited visibility at the site of the collapse in Baltimore could pose a concern. Again, Kevin Cartwright told from the Baltimore City Fire Department told CNN they're working with the Coast Guard, and a team of divers are in the river for search and rescue operations with temperatures at the port around 30 degrees. This happened at 1:30 with limited visibility, so we are working aggressively considering the environmental temperatures as well as the water temperatures to try and rescue and perhaps recover individuals. It feels like at least about 30 degrees where I am. It could be slightly lower than that, and I'm sure the water temperature is even colder. Well, not really. Water temperature is not going to be colder than 30 degrees. It'd be frozen.
Right, yeah.
And that could pose a concern and risk for our divers. Cartwright said the teams were working methodically and safely to ensure everyone operating here on the scene is safe. That's the one thing. I mean, when you're dealing with something like this, the rescue workers, you're dealing with something that just fell, and you have no idea, you know, that, you know, massive infrastructure of that truss.
Right.
You have no idea how stable that is or how that could move and trap drivers, or divers.
Right. It looks like, looking at a couple of different sources here, that the water temperature in that area could be as low as 48 degrees, maybe 47, 48 degrees. That's extremely cold water. The fact that this happens, it was around 1:30 local time. It happens in the middle of the night. And while the port itself is lit up, I mean, in some of the photos, it looks like daylight because there's so much light around that port. That gives them an advantage, but still the sun gives you the greatest advantage in terms of search and rescue in a situation like this. It's so frightening to watch as this bridge just comes down. Again, if you're just joining us, breaking news happened around 1:30 local time. That's Eastern time this morning. the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge there in Baltimore. This is a very, very long bridge. The entire length of the bridge is over 8,300 feet. So you're looking at over a mile and a half long. I think 1.6 miles is what they were saying. And this a huge chunk of this bridge is now gone. And it collapsed very quickly after a container ship, the container ship Dolly, which is flagged out of Singapore, hit one of the main support columns there of the bridge. And there was a live stream on this. The Port of Baltimore live stream was fixed on the bridge itself at the time. And you can see this thing collapse. There were multiple vehicles. It looks to be maybe construction vehicles, maybe State Highway Department vehicles that were on there and were stationary. You can see the flashing lights that are on there, and they were on there for some time leading up to this bridge collapse. But also there was the regular traffic, the normal traffic, a number of big rigs that are crossing that bridge back and forth in the moments leading up as well. Reports now that there could be at least one big rig that was on that bridge, but other vehicles and other people. And now, what was the latest count?
They're searching for at least 20 people. Mm. Earlier they had said 7, but now searching for 7.
Yeah, and I'm assuming, you and I were assuming, that 7 count may be the number of people that were assigned to work on that bridge, because it looked like there was some kind of work going on the bridge as those vehicles, whether they were construction or State Highway Department vehicles, were stationary on that vehicle or on that bridge for quite some time. It's just devastating to watch this, but you can see as the bridge collapsed, a number of vehicles going into the water. And now authorities saying that they are searching for as many as 20 people in the water there in Baltimore.
And just so people know, I mean, it's like, how do you guys know this? Because they have a live stream.
Yeah.
Port of Baltimore live stream that mm-hmm. was on the bridge at the time. And I know it was night, but because of the lights from the Port of Baltimore, mm-hmm. it was extremely bright. You could see things in great, great detail, including the ship actually hitting the support column.
Right.
866-90 Red Eye.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Fellow Stooges. It's hunting season. Easter egg hunting, that is. Now, nobody knows for sure how this tradition got started, but Agriculture Department history expert Ann Efflund says it seems to come from Germany, maybe from this old legend.
There was a poor woman who had decorated eggs for her family to find during a famine, and they had to search for them and find them. And when they found them and looked up, they saw a rabbit hopping away, and that's how they decided the rabbit had brought the eggs.
Some historians say that in the 1500s, German Protestant reformer Martin Luther had egg hunts, and when German and Dutch settlers came to North America,
children would hide their hats in places around the home, in the barns and the gardens, and that the Easter Bunny would find those and lay eggs in them. So that seems to be the origin of the idea of the hunt for the eggs.
At least in this country. But however it got started, it's huge today. And so, Larry Moe, Curly, if you're ready, go hunt those eggs.
Now we're off to the hunt.
Yes, yeah. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, talking about the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, right outside the Port of Baltimore Harbor. It was hit by a cargo ship, hit the one of the main support columns of the major truss, and that whole section just came down. It's horrific, absolutely horrific to watch that. They're searching for 20 people. You and I were talking about this. This is about building a new bridge.
Yeah, I can't imagine any part of this bridge would be salvageable in terms of
no.
There can't be any structural integrity left of any of it based on what we have seen. We're not engineers or experts here, but it looks like it would have to be completely redone. The entire bridge would have to be rebuilt. And I don't know, I can't imagine what kind of project that is. And if you look at it from a map standpoint,
yeah,
crossing essentially the Baltimore, that Port of Baltimore, I don't know what the workaround is. That was a hazmat route for hazardous materials on big rigs, and by regulation, those materials have to be routed around certain areas, around populated areas, and that's going to have to be redone. I don't know, again, this is going to be a major disruption there. The greatest and most immediate concern is, of course, now looking for at least 20 individuals they believe are in the water there in Baltimore, and looking at some of the water temps around there, it would be roughly 48 degrees, so it's freezing. It's very cold by comparison, it's, again, we're looking at daylight very soon there. There is lots of light in the port area. Always, even at night, there's lots of light, but the sun gives you the greatest advantage during that search and rescue, and that's the sun will be coming up here in a little while, here in a couple hours there, within a couple hours there in Baltimore, following the story of the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland this morning after being hit by a container ship.
Listening to Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Breaking news overnight, the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, a pretty large, pretty massive bridge, was hit by a cargo ship early this morning, about 1:30 a.m. Eastern time. It hit into a support column of the major truss, and all of that major truss came down into the water. At its peak, it's 185 feet above the water. Authorities now looking for at least 20 people who may be in the water. Now, the water temperature is very cold, like it's 30 degrees out there, probably in the upper 40s is the actual water temperature. Interestingly enough, I went back and watched the video because Breitbart was talking about, you know, they've got, there's a video live stream provided by local businesses and hosted by Breitbart London. And it shows a lead up and everything else. And about 4 minutes before it hits, you can see it. All the lights on the ship go off. And they're off for a little bit. Then they come back on again.
Yeah.
And it looks like within a minute of hitting the actual support column, the lights go off again. And so the question is, you know, were they, you know, did they lose power? Did the ship lose power, the dolly? Then they write that real-time marine traffic data from the Port of Baltimore shows that the MV Dolly is still broadcasting by its automatic identification system transceiver that it is underway using engine, which may indicate if a machinery failure caused the ship to drift out of the channel and into the bridge piles. It was not detected by onboard systems, which are supposed to be automatic.
Right.
So the live stream video, again, provided by Breitbart London, shows a lead up to the collision and the moment of impact. Amber flashing beacons on the central span of the bridge show what is reported to be construction crews working on the structure late into the night, while light traffic, including cars and tractor-trailer trucks, cross over the open lanes in a strike of blind luck. And you and I noticed this when we went through it, the video, the really the 5 minutes before and then the minute after it hit, the moment the ship hits the bridge and collapses, passing traffic appears to be very, very light on the portion of the truss that fell down compared to the number of cars and trucks present on the bridge just moments earlier. The MV Dolly approaches from the northeast, but approximately 4 minutes and 20 seconds before impact, all lights aboard the ship go out, a clear indication of a total onboard loss of power. 1 minute and 10 seconds after this visual indication that all is not well about on board, some lights are restored and they continue to turn on and off at varying degrees until the collision.
Yeah, I'm watching the video playback here from the stream on YouTube, and they're describing it exactly as the case. And we had mentioned earlier that it's like they restored some of the it looks like some of the power restored right in the last few seconds. Then as the bridge comes down, and I thought it was a result of the bridge collapsing on top of the bow of the container ship Dolly, the entire ship goes dark. I thought it was a result of the crash, and much of that could be, but it went dark moments after, I mean, just a couple of seconds as that bridge comes down, the entire ship goes dark, and, of course, the bridge goes into the water. Multiple vehicles on that bridge that may have been construction vehicles that were stationary on that bridge. But I do wonder about that traffic. You and I wonder if and we'll learn this in the coming days maybe, if they knew, if the captain on board the Dolly knew they were having issues with their power, and if they were able to shut down traffic right at the last minute. We don't know that, but traffic kind of goes away other than the stationary vehicles that are on the bridge.
This from Breitbart, during the last minutes, the MV Dolly turned sharply. You and I talked about this.
Yeah.
Because I first thought, is this an optical illusion? Because you never know when you're looking at a camera.
Right, right.
You know,
right. They can be deceiving.
Yeah, we're the first ones when you're up in space and someone says, see that flash? That's a UFO. That's an extraterrestrial. We said, you have no idea what it is.
Yeah, we don't.
And so we don't, just because you see it, and I looked, I said, it seems like that ship is moving.
Mm.
And they go, during the last 3 minutes, the MV Dolly turned sharply, particularly for a ship of its size, to starboard, putting it on course for the bridge support. You and I both saw that.
Yeah.
From 3 minutes until impact, until the strike, and now that I look at it, I noticed it. It went by me. I saw it. I wasn't sure if it was an optical illusion, but from 3 minutes until impact, until the strike, a very large plume of thick black smoke appears to pour from the ship's chimney, indicating either the engine is working very hard or a fire on board. In the case of the crew being aware of the imminent disaster and attempting to prevent the collision, the volume of smoke would likely mean failed engines being restarted, or if already running after a total electrical failure, the engines are being put under a high load to slow the ship down.
Yeah, that would make sense. Because I wondered about a fire, an engine fire or something like that, but it would, if that engine was under heavy load and they were trying to maneuver it in the last seconds, knowing what was going on and they were limited in power, that would also explain that plume of smoke. But you can see that in the last few minutes leading up to the collision. If you're just joining us, the Breaking news this morning. It happened around 1:30 Eastern time. The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore has collapsed as a result of being hit by a container ship. It's the container ship flagged out of Singapore called the Dolly. And it was on its way to India, actually. And it was leaving the port this morning. This is the port of Baltimore. If you're familiar with Baltimore, it is a very industrial area. The port of Baltimore is very, very busy. It's just a very robust activity all the time there. And so as this ship hit one of the main support columns of this bridge, it collapsed into the water. Authorities and reports now saying as many as 20 people are being sought. They're looking for them in the waters there in Baltimore, in the port of Baltimore. It's looking at the weather. Temperature is around 41 degrees right now. Reports that the waters could be somewhere around 48 to 50 degrees, which is very cold. There is lots of light coming off of the port. These ports are lit up at night, and it in fact, some of the photos that you'll see look like it's daylight because there's so much light. But the sun coming up right around sunrise is at 6:59 local time, so that would be about an hour and 15 minutes from now. They will have the advantage of sunlight as search and rescue continues. But authorities say they're looking for as many as 20 people, at least 20 people that could be in the water there under this, where the bridge used to be. The Francis Scott Key Bridge, a massive bridge, one of the largest of its kind. It is 8,300 feet plus in total length. The truss part of this bridge is the third longest in the world, and just a huge chunk of this bridge is gone.
It'd be interesting because the entire truss, again, is not just what's in between the two major support columns for the major arch. It's the truss that goes, you know, further on to the further support columns. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know exactly the arch, how far that is across, but the ship is 980 feet long, 157 feet wide, but still be at 157 feet. Again, we don't know the clearance to the top of the bridge, but that wasn't the problem. And this is why we wondered. We said, well, what in the world was going on? And wondered earlier if it had lost power, because it wasn't width-wise, it was not a tight fit at all.
Right. Going back on that live stream on YouTube, the Port of Baltimore, you can go back quite some time before, as is the case with live streams. You can rewind sometimes 12 hours or more on the video on YouTube. And in this case, that is certainly a fact. And looking at other ships looks can be deceiving. It looks like it's a tight fit, but they come under that bridge, out of the port, under the bridge, and then into open water eventually to get, and then, of course, the opposite is true, going into the port. But watching a couple of ships, they didn't appear to be, or at least didn't have as much cargo on board as the Dolly did. But I went back and reviewed as a couple of those container ships came out of the port in the hours before, underneath the Francis Scott Key Bridge. And again, it looks like they're barely making clearance, but of course its looks are deceiving, and if you look at the actual distance, it's clearly they're clearing it by, I don't know, I would say 30-40 feet, maybe a little bit less, but they have no problem on the clearance side of it. And then there's also, as you point out, Gary, and you observe this fairly early on, plenty of room between those two support beams, which is really the center of the bridge. That's where those ships were coming out. I'm assuming that is the case for all of them this size. They come out underneath the center of that bridge, and they had no problem doing that. Now, learning in over the last hour or so, maybe a little longer, that the Dolly was having problems with power. This is the container ship responsible for the collapse of the bridge as it struck that support column. And we don't know. You know, it's hard to know exactly what was going on there, and we'll learn that through the investigation.
You know, the section of the truss we read earlier was 1,200 feet,
mm-hmm.
and now when I went to Wikipedia, they say the span is 1,200 feet, which it could be because it's pretty wide.
The span of the truss span is 1,200 feet.
Right. Well, the span would be between the two columns.
Okay.
The truss is longer because the truss.
Okay, you mean okay.
Right? The truss goes
span
off
between the columns.
Right. So if that's
columns.
And just to show that there was no, I mean, the clearance. If the ship was 180 something feet or 157 feet wide, then it had plenty of room to get through.
Right.
Which is what we had wondered in the beginning. Right. It really doesn't mean anything now because we now, we looking at it now because we were wondering how could it possibly, you know, swing out when the stern swung out like that?
Mm-hmm.
And you and I were questioning what we were seeing. I want to make clear of it, but other people have seen the exact same thing.
And the bow just turns and goes right at the one support column.
Because we went, it looks like they're aiming for it.
Right.
And again,
no reason to believe that is the case, but that's what it appears to
That's what it looked. I mean, I'm not saying it. If they could have been out of power, the steering, whatever.
Right,
you don't know. But that's what it looked like. And so it's been verified. Yeah, it did move. That stern did move very, very quickly. And and then the smoke was coming out of the smokestack.
Yeah.
And so you're wondering, okay, is it the engines working? Is it a fire? What is it? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He's Eric Harley. A lot we didn't cover because of the breaking news of the Francis Scott Key bridge collapse in Baltimore. We'll get to it on tomorrow's show. Everything that's going on in Washington and
here in just over an hour, the sun will start to rise there in the Baltimore area, and the search and rescue first responders will have the greater benefit of the sun to some daylight to help find what they say now is at least 20 people that are missing after the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge there in Baltimore. And the investigation will be going on for quite some time. And we'll be following the story throughout the day.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.